Hello, everybody. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Braille Promotions Workshop for Braille Literacy Canada. Today's topic is all about repair of braillers and other devices. And when Rick and I were chatting yesterday, I learned things that I did not know. So I'm sure everybody else here will also learn things they did not know about our beloved braille devices. So I just wanted to say a couple of things. If you want to raise your hand or mute or unmute yourself, remember that there's been something that popped up in the window saying that this meeting's being recorded and you have to hit got it or okay before you can go back to your Zoom controls. So just a reminder, we've muted everybody for now. To unmute is Alt A on the PC. On the Mac, it's Command Shift A. I think Command Shift A. On the iPhone, it's in the bottom left-hand corner of your screen. And on the Android, I believe it's in the same location or similar. On the phone, I don't believe we have any phone people here, but on the phone, it's star six to mute, unmute. To raise hand, it's Alt Y on the PC, Option Y on the Mac. And in your little participants list, you can raise your hand under your name or in the More tab on mobile devices and star nine on the phone. Braille Literacy Canada, we are a nonprofit, of course. We have a lot of workshops every year. We have things for new adult Braille learners, the Zoomers. That's usually the first Saturday of the month. These workshops, the Braille promotions, are every couple of months or so. We probably won't have one now till about March or so because in January there's going to be a mass of World Braille Day events. So stay tuned. We do have a newsletter. And if you are not a member, it's coming up to membership renewal time. And so definitely consider that. So I'm just going to leave it there for now because we have a lot to cover. And I'm just going to go over to Rick's very poetic introduction that he sent me. And I'm going to go through that a little bit here. So,
Athletic's a bit
Rick,
strong.
oh, no, it's very beautiful. So Rick grew up on a community in the southwest coast of Newfoundland, which with 94 people in it. So I'm sure he didn't learn how to do braille repair in a small community of 94 people. But he did commercial fishing when he was 13 and joined the Canadian Navy at 18. And he spent about almost 10 years there and he loved it. And his specialty was electronic warfare. So that's kind of, I guess, what he does now, right? Fixing all our devices that are all embattled and broken. He met a lovely young woman and got married and is still married with wonderful daughters. And he started with Aroga. Some of you will remember Aroga, and then he took a little break from Aroga and came back and worked from Aroga for about 17 years. And some of you will remember that Aroga then kind of disbanded at that time. Aroga ceased to exist, he said. And after some soul searching, he decided even though the old company was gone, he still had a responsibility to his clients and to provide a level of service that they have come to expect over the years. So he opened Chaos Technical Services in March of 2017. And coming up on 6 years, he says, "You still have me. I've always loved working in this industry. The clients are more than clients in most cases. Some are colleagues, some are friends. It will be hard to retire and leave that behind when the time comes, but there are other adventures to be had." So here's Rick and welcome. And you take it over in whatever way you see fit. And we're just so excited to have you here with us to talk about this great and important topic.
Good morning, folks. I certainly see some names that I know. certainly colleagues, certainly friends. We've been kicking around this block a long time, a long time. I'm coming up on 28, 29 years in the industry. So I've crossed trails with the vast majority of you at some point in time. I love what I do. I love my clients. I love the work. It's very rewarding. And yes, retirement's out there, but it's out there a ways yet. So I still have some good years before all that comes to pass. So I don't have anything prepared per se. But having said that, I've been asked to speak with regards to brailers, maintenance, what should, what shouldn't you do, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll take it from there. We'll start with the manual brailers first. And manual brailer to me, the quintessential manual brailer is obviously a Perkins. One of the worst things you can do for a Perkins is to leave it alone and let it set on the shelf. What happens is the lithium grease inside turns to concrete, and then you go to use it and your keys stick and your space bar sticks and your carriage won't move. And it's a nightmare for people like me. The recommendation to keep them running and keep them running well is at least once a month, take it down off the shelf, put a piece of paper, braille paper in it, a wide piece if you've got it, and do a complete line of every character in the alphabet down to Y, because you'll only get 25 lines on the page. And beat on it. You don't need to be timid with it. It's a manual brailer. It's all metal. You're not going to hurt us. If you've got one that's been sitting on a shelf and you take it down and you find out your keys are sticky or your carriage is not moving like it should, there are a couple of things you can do. First things first is your carriage, with your carriage return that you use to get to the start of the line, just actuate the return and move it to the right. Move it back to the left and move it to the right. And eventually your mainspring will let go of itself. It's glued together, essentially, is what's happening in the background. And just be gentle with it. You don't need to force it. If you force it and you break the tab off the mainspring, it's going to come to me. There's nothing you're going to be able to do with it from there. The keys, same thing. If you get them, they're stuck. Move the carriage all the way to the right if you can, and just gently keep at the keys until they start responding. Other than that, if you've got one that's got little rubber rollers for the pinch rollers to keep the paper in place, is just make sure that they're supple and they're not cracked or missing. Seen that many times. I go through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of those little O-rings in the run of a year. The best thing you can do for them is to use them. It does nothing for them to sit them on a shelf, and it's terrible for them, actually. Okay. So, anybody got any questions about that before we move on?
So Perkins questions, Perkins Brailer questions.
Debbie's got one.
Go ahead.
And Mark.
Hi, Rick. Great to see you again.
Hi, Debbie.
And, give Steve and Brian Ryan my best.
I'll give them the gears for you anyway.
Oh, good man. Good man. My question is Brailer covers.
Yes.
Do you recommend them? And if you do, where can I get one? Like, I have begged, borrowed, and stolen over the years from good mates of mine. And you know, I don't know if it's a good idea to have them. And when I do have them, they seem to have disappeared. I think people are doing the same thing I'm doing with them. But
okay, well, you can get them from Perkins, from Howell Braille Press. They're not cheap. Would I keep mine under it? You know what? If I had somebody who sewed, I'd just get them to make me a dust cover for it. Yeah. I wouldn't go through the expense of I think they're about $45, but that's a guess. So I wouldn't go through that kind of expense. I would just, get somebody who you knew that sewed and take the, take the pattern of the end, two end plates, and then just a straight flat piece of material, sew it all together, and you're golden.
Okay.
Keep it under a dust cover. I would, if you know you've got somebody doing drywall in the house, absolutely. I have seen some pretty strange things come out of manual brailers, pencils, pens, stickers, mice, a centipede. I had a skeleton of a snake in one. Things will get in there, but keeping it covered will help.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Mark, what do you got?
Two questions, but the first one is, you mentioned lithium grease.
Lithium grease, yes.
Can you just, what is lithium grease?
Well, lithium grease is a very light white, like white in color, grease. You can buy it at Canadian Tire in the 500 mil tub.
Oh, okay. I've just never heard of it, so I was just kind of curious.
Where it goes is it goes on the little rings on the keys and where the keys fit into the chassis slot to keep them straight from the other keys. So there's six keys and each one has its own channel that the key backing sits in. And that's where it goes to keep the friction down so that you're not having to pound on the keys to get your braille.
Is that something that should be done by
me?
That's what I thought.
If you've got somebody who can pop the covers off, pop the front end off, you could certainly take a Q-tip or something like that, dip it in, and you'll see where the old stuff is there. And you can just take a Q-tip and carefully go through all those. And if you turn it over on the bottom, you'll see that there's two fingers, one on either side, that has a little wheel on it as well. And that should get some as well.
And then maybe just the follow-up is in sending it off to someone who is trained in doing that. Any advice? I'm kind of not sure where to look. I have a list of, I think Daphne might have sent me a list, but just that's completely new to me about how to get it to the right place.
Okay, well, I don't know of anybody else in Canada doing them, but having said that, you're closer to Boston than you are to me, but you're going to have to deal with CRA or Border Services getting it back. So I do them. I do probably 50, 60 a year for PRCVI. I've done 6, 8, 10, 6, 8 anyway. This year for you guys, for Braille Literacy Canada. I've got a mittful that I'm responsible for in Nova Scotia. I got a mittful in Ontario. I got a mittful, maybe a little bit more than that, in Manitoba. So I do them for across the country.
And maybe the final question is, how long is a turnaround once it gets to you?
Oh, a couple of days. It doesn't stay here any length of time. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, no problem.
You have a question from CJ and Don.
Yep.
Okay. And can I put myself in the queue? I can't raise my hand.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Ryan.
Christina, you're still muted.
Oh, hi.
There we go.
Those little O-ring things, the little black ones, how do you keep them from cracking? Is there any tips that you'd give?
There is, actually. There is stuff out there made by MG Chemicals called Rubber Renew.
Rubber Renew, okay. Yep. Where would you get that?
You can get it in a little bottle. Amazon.
Amazon, awesome.
Okay, you can get it in a little bottle. I think the one I've got here is... hold on, I have to get my glasses. I'm not blind, but I'm damn close. This bottle is four ounces, so it's about, if you hold your palm sideways, it's about that size.
Okay, perfect.
But that's enough Rubber Renew to do about 500 devices. So
excellent.
If you can get something smaller, fine, and apply it with a Q-tip.
Yeah.
Take the tension off it. Apply some on a Q-tip, and then apply it to the O-rings while you're turning the little wheel that the O-rings are on.
Perfect. Okay,
that's how
excellent.
That's how I'd keep them supple and working properly.
Perfect. Thank you.
Christina.
Dawn is next.
Thank Dawn, you.
Okay, sorry.
So my question is, I have two quick questions, actually. The first one is because I have a cat, obviously I should have a dust cover so that the thing doesn't get covered in cat hair or dust or anything like that. Is that what you would suggest?
Yes, I... excuse the pregnant pause. I don't see where cat hair or dog hair or any of that is going to make a significant difference. I've seen some pretty big fur balls and stuff come out of devices and they've been behaving flawlessly. They're in here for maintenance. So if you're concerned about it, sure. If you've got a big fluffy Maine Coon cat who likes to, you know, do his yoga right beside your brailer, maybe. But I wouldn't go through any expense, you know, if throw a towel or something over it and you're golden.
And then the other question is, do you suggest that we send them out to you on a yearly basis or 5-yearly basis for maintenance?
Three yearly basis.
Every 3 years. Awesome. Thank you very much.
Not a problem.
Kim, you're next.
You next.
Okay. Yeah, I had a question about a long time ago, and I haven't heard of these recently. They sold those dramatically expensive cases for brailers that were like hard-sided. It reminded me when Debbie was asking about the dust covers kind. Mm-hmm. Are they still around, or is there any value at all to having one of those? You remember what I mean? And you guys and the paper went in it too, and it was like a hard-sided kind of.
Yeah, Kim, box. I used to have one. I know okay. Exactly what, yeah. They have clamps and they lock if you want. Yeah.
Yeah, like suitcase clamps.
Exactly.
Yeah. I've seen them. Do I like them? I think it's a bit of overkill unless you're playing soccer with your device. You know, these things are made to be abused. And I don't mean that by putting it down on the top step and kicking it down to the bottom step. But if you manage to set it down on the edge of a desk and you don't quite get the desk and it falls on the floor, is it going to hurt it? Yeah, it might, but it's more likely not. And I think that was just something that really cautious parents decided they wanted. So Hal Braille Press made it for them.
Yeah, because I haven't seen them in years.
Exactly. Do I agree with it? Yeah. I'm not sure I'd say absolutely. That answer your question?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Anybody else?
I have a little comment, Rick.
Go ahead.
Something that we used and it works fairly well is a shower cap over top of the...
ideal.
Yes.
Perfect.
It doesn't cover the entire brailer, but it covers the opening if you clip it onto the roller handles.
Yeah, to the roller handles.
Yeah.
Ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Ideal.
Wow.
And then put it down around where your carriage return is for your thumb.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's perfect. Brilliant. Thank you very much, Daphne.
Thanks,
that's
Daphne.
Fantastic.
But just remember to take it off before you try to put the paper in.
Yeah, I think you should market those, and BLC should have their own logo.
Yeah, BLC shower caps.
There you go. There you go.
To be used in the pool or on the Perkins.
Nice, Kim.
BLC, Braille Learning Companion, or
Braille Literacy Caps.
Braille Literacy Caps. I said that, Braille Literacy Caps. Because some people put a similar thing over Braille displays too, right?
Yeah.
Like over the, because Hams used to sell that looked like a shower cap kind of thing.
Yeah. Made of pure nuggahite. I'm not sure how many nuggets they had to skin to get them, but you know.
There's another hand up, Maurice.
Sorry, I was muted. Rick, what about electric brailers? I mean, I have one that I haven't used in years. It's in a closet somewhere. So what about them? Same kind of repairs that you might do?
Okay, now are you talking electric Perkins? Because they do exist.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. It's the same thing. The only difference with an electric Perkins and a manual Perkins is the space bar has a switch on the bottom end of it that actuates a solenoid.
Okay.
So it makes it a light touch to Braille.
Right.
and the working mechanism in the background is exactly the same except for that.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So I could convert one if I took one off the shelf or out of the box here that I've got. I could convert one to an electric with a board and a solenoid and a 24 volt power supply.
Oh, wow. Interesting. My parents, and this was back in the day. I mean, my parents bought it in the States because it was a very rare contraption. And because of my CP on my right side, they figured, I would use a manual brailler at school just to get the fingers, to strengthen the fingers. But then when I went home, I would kind of use the Zen version. I'd have to dig it up and get it repaired. And what about shipping them? Because I mean, that can be, do you do free post or how does that
work? Oh, my darling, I've got a deal for you. With Braille.
Call me darling anytime.
With Braille. Sorry, that's my Newfoundland heritage showing through. With Braille devices, not electric brailers, but with manual Braille devices, you can put it in a paper box, take it down to your local post office and tell them it's free matter for the blind going for repair.
Oh.
And they will send it express post to me free.
Wow. But why not electric braillers?
Sorry. Braille displays, they cannot because there's batteries and stuff in them.
I see.
So there's a whole hoo-ha and legislation around sending batteries and what that all entails and whether they're refreshable Braille or manual Braille. I guess it's a baseline as to providing literacy to people. So they've agreed to do the manual brailers, but not broaden it out any farther than that.
Interesting. Thank you very much.
Now you could sneak one in there. You could tell them that it's, this is a brailer going for repair, not mention, but it has to go ground because of the battery thing.
Right. I see. Thank you. Are you going to lower my hand, Rianne, or should I do it?
You can lower it. Brenda, you're up next.
Hi, this is Brenda Bush, and I have a question about trying to keep the brailler quiet. I've used a towel underneath and just wondered if anyone had any other suggestions. It's because it makes a lot of noise when you're in a group.
I don't know that there's any such thing as a quiet brailler, Brenda. I've never met one, if there is.
Brenda, I have there. It used to be National Braille Press. They sell, I have one. In fact, I'm going to show it to Rick because my video's on. Just a minute. They're bought specifically for this. It's a sponge, like.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those. But are you talking the actual mechanism making a noise, Brenda?
Yeah, well, when you're brailling, if you're taking notes in a meeting, then
I think it's this, Rick.
Okay. Very distracting.
Okay. Debbie's got one is that one foam, Debbie?
Yeah, it's foam, but it's pretty firm, Rick. If it was foam, it doesn't sponge. I mean, it might be material. It is foam. Let's call it foam.
Okay.
So what does it look like?
It looks like, go ahead, Rick, like a placemat.
Yeah, exactly. It's a thick foam placemat, about half an inch thick, slightly wider than your brailler, slightly deeper than your brailler. And you just set it down on so it's not vibrating the sound from the brailler through to the table.
That might be better than a towel, What about a mouse pad?
About a bedpan? Is that what you said?
Mouse pad?
Oh, mouse pad. I heard bedpan.
Right. I don't think they're thick enough, Brenda. This thing is really thick. Relatively, it's probably as thick as two towels folded, at least.
Branford. They had them, now that I think about it, they had them at Branford, I think, when I was there. Like, they had them near the end, I think. And the other thing is it made sure that the brailler never slipped around. Like,
yeah, it's great.
Once it was on point. There, it was it was steady, pretty steady. And it was hard foam. It almost felt like a gym mat. Like, does it feel
exactly.
like a gym
yes,
mat?
Yes, exactly. Only sponge gym mat. But you're right.
Spongier, but
a yoga mat.
Like a yoga mat. There we go. Yeah. Yoga mat. Yeah.
You might even be able to use a yoga mat if you could cut it down to.
Yeah.
And put the BLC, put the BLC logo on it.
Oh, come on, get on to the BLC. There's your next one, Daphne. Yep, get on it.
I'm taking notes here.
BLC. Shower caps and yoga Perkins yoga mat.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep something your Perkins Zen.
It's a great marketing thing. Even if you got 100.
They're pretty thick, Brenda. And I think I have mine still, but I know... Maybe it comes with brailers now. I'm not sure you have to buy them separately. I'm not sure.
It's separate.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a separate. Now, where do you get them, Daphne? I got this one at CNIB when I worked
there. Will make sure I find that out and send it out with the notes following. I will have some links. Yeah.
We used to buy gym mats from like Walmart or Dollarama and cut them down. Yes. Like those foamy gym mats for home gyms.
Yep. That would do it too.
And carpet samples.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
I used a carpet one once that we had left over, and that was pretty good too.
Yeah. Sometimes the carpet samples are all bound on the edges so they don't fray.
Yeah.
Another
thing I've seen is flutter boards that the kids use.
Oh, of course. That would work too.
Oh, that would be good too.
Yeah.
See, that goes with the swim caps there. Yeah.
I think we've got a theme happening here.
Yeah.
Don't take your brailer in the pool. I am not responsible for it.
Oh, come on. We'll just send it to you anyway, Rick. We're not worried
about it.
Rick told us to put it on the kickboard. Rick said put it on the kickboard.
Okay. We got some more questions. Fire.
So, Mark?
Mark, yeah.
Okay. When shipping to you, does it require any kind of special packaging? It sounds like these are pretty durable, but
if you put it in a paper box or something a couple of inches bigger than the footprint and put a couple of inches of bubble wrap around it, it'll be fine.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Nothing special.
When you say paper box, do you mean cardboard box?
I mean printer paper. You know how you get...
Yeah.
Yeah. So in a printer paper box, Staples will have them where they've taken the packages, the reams of paper out and sell them as separates.
Oh, okay.
Or any Amazon box, guys, if you get...
Or any Amazon box, as long as you've got a couple of inches on the way around that you can wrap it in bubble wrap.
Yeah.
I think my go-to plan is going to be I'll just email Daphne beforehand and say, how do I do this?
Okay, fine. Or you can email me. And the other thing is if you haven't got bubble wrap and you're concerned about it, is throw a couple of towels around it. I will return the towels. It'll go back the same way it comes in, but I can't send it back.
Just free matter. Wash them.
I'm not doing your laundry. No.
You're going to give us your mailing address at the end of this, right?
Yeah, Daphne will
Thanks, guys.
It up on the notes, my email address and shipping address and stuff.
All right, CJ?
I was just going to say, like you, Rianne, we used the foam mats, like, you know, you can put together for kids' play areas or gyms, but also the kneeling mats for gardening that you can get from the Dollarama or Dollar Tree.
We've
used that too, just to buffer the sound a little bit when the kids are using them on their desk.
That's a great idea.
That's a good one too. Yep, those little kneeling mats for the garden.
Okay, Rick, I think you're good to keep going.
Anybody else got any comments on that? No? Okay. All right. So with that out of the way, or at least people thinking about that, let's move on to electric refreshable braille displays, because I know everybody, just about everybody has got one, and just about everybody at some point in time has had a pin stuck, or do I or don't I, or whatever the case. To start with, if you've got weak braille and you've tried everything, take a toothbrush, dip it in Fantastic with bleach.
No.
Flick it so that you've got no residual on it and brush the hell out of the display. I mean, give it to her with the display retracted. Don't have the pins up, but with the display retracted. And then once you finish that, take a Q-tip with some 99% alcohol available at any pharmacy, and then go over it line by line, the whole width of the display, and see what happens. There is no maintenance to do to them normally, but if you've got a stuck pin, that just might be enough to get it to behave. It may be debris down around the pin where it's not allowing it to come up through the hole. But if it's to come in here, you know, we'll pull the display, we'll pull all the keycaps off, we'll pull all the pins out, we'll put the compressor on all these cells and make sure that the bimorphs are working. And a bimorph is a three-layer piece of electronics that the middle is neutral. And if you apply power to the top, it causes the bimorph to flex up. And if you want to retract it, you put power to the bottom so it allows the bimorph to bend down. And that's what drives your pins up and down. And then we'll reassemble it, connect it to either this desktop I'm on or the laptop, and let it run for 24 hours with just a batch file, doing refreshable Braille the entire time. I like Gulliver, the first 100 pages of Gulliver's Travels is what I use. And, you know, if it's going to fail, it's going to fail here. But before it comes, those are some of the steps that I would take. And it doesn't make any difference what kind of a display it is. You can do it with a HIMSS display. You can do it with a HumanWare display. You can do it with Freedom's displays. You can do it with the BOM displays. Just make sure you don't have too much of any of the cleaner on the toothbrush when you go after it or on the Q-tip. But other than that, you should be golden.
So the heads are down when you do use the fantastic.
The heads are down. You're trying to get the debris from around the top of the pin.
Right.
Is the goal with that.
Right. And when the Q-tip is applied, is the heads are still down.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Good. Good to know. Okay. Yep.
What you're hoping to do is with the soapy in the fantastic is to float the dirt off the around the hole, and then the Q-tip will pick it up as you go back.
Great. Why fantastic with bleach as opposed to no bleach?
Because you're also going to clean as you go.
Ah, okay. Thank you.
Right. And you wouldn't believe how much dead skin you leave behind on a Braille display. You wouldn't believe it. And I don't want to know what else is on your fingers when you're using a display. Not yours specifically, but I've seen some very strange things coming out of schools.
One thing I use too is instead of a Q-tip, and you're right with the alcohol, I use like the little swabs, like the little, they're like individually wrapped swabs.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Those as well.
Too, cause at least they're, you don't have to put the alcohol on, and it makes it easier. But
I know what you're talking about. The little square.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. That's a possibility as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark.
Is there anything that can be done proactively before a problem happens?
Yes, absolutely there is. Make sure your hands are clean before you sit down on your display. The number one thing, because if you've got food or you've got dandruff is the worst, right? People run their hands through their hair to fluff it up, and then they sit down and their hands are full of dandruff, and dandruff is fine, and it gets down in those holes, and you wouldn't believe how many I've seen. But yeah, make sure your hands are clean before you sit down on your display.
Rick, I don't know if you can answer this, but are there some Braille displays that are more prone to this than others? And this gets into another issue about reliability, and I'm not sure you want to go there, but if you do, go right ahead. And if you don't, that's fine too.
I don't want to go there because I don't want to bias anybody's decision. There are some displays that when people call and say, I've got a so-and-so or a such-and-such, it's like, oh, stick another pin in my heart, will you please? Whereas there are some that it's like, oh, you got one of those. That's not a problem. We'll take care of it. Parts are readily available. Support in the background is fine. There are the big manufacturers. Let's put it that way. The big manufacturers, BOM is getting hard to get parts for now because BOM is gone. And BOM USA is just about gone. HIMSS is still around. And although I don't do any, I don't do much, let's not say any, I don't do much here with hymns for parts. I can still clean displays and stuff like that. And the non-electronic parts, I can get batteries, pins, cell caps, keycaps, stuff like that. I can still get from them. But if it's electronic, it goes back to them because they've got a really rigid company policy that they will not sell across borders. So it has to go back to them. But as for Freedom displays, any of the HumanWare displays, I can do those here. So it's not an issue one way or the other. So give me the question again that you just posed to me.
Okay, I think you've answered it.
Oh, okay, okay.
So, you know, I just asked if reliability, are they all about the same? I mean, never mind.
They are. And again, you know, it really depends on your habits. You know, when you get up and go and have lunch before you sit back down, are you washing your hands? You know, are you sure that you didn't fluff your hair in the last 10 minutes before you sat down on your display? You can't do it all the time. I recognize that, but just having the thought there, maybe I should, might be just enough to flip the switch and have it done, and not cause the problem downstream.
If you use Purell and you go to use your display after that, does it hurt the display?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. All those hand cleaners are all alcohol based. And the only thing it's doing is it's cleaning your hands superficially, making sure there's no germs, no scurvy, no COVID, no whatever the hell else it is you've got on your hands. And then it just, it disappears, right? What's the word I'm looking for? Evaporates. Yeah. And then your hands are supposedly clean. None of those hand cleaners are going to bother the display.
Thank you. I'm done.
All right. We have a hand up from Penny and then Jeffrey.
I was wondering, is there any usefulness for you to get any used Braille displays to use the pins? Are there things that we can do to help suppliers when our devices have just gotten too old or whatever?
Well, that depends, Penny, on what kind of a display we're talking about. I've got PackMates already. I've got an 80 cell navigator, believe it or not. I've got two power Brails. I've got two Apexes. So for the most part, I hate to just say flat out say no, but for the most part, I'm pretty well covered. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Thank you. I just wondered if there's anything we could do to help you. But if you don't need our Braille displays, you don't need a whole bunch of pins or whatever. But
yeah,
you
know, well, it'd be nice. As I say, depending on what it is, you know, it wouldn't be unheard of if I was to get my hands on a Braille Pen 12 display. I would take that and be only too happy to take it. I've got one that has a dead cell 12. And I haven't been able to find a replacement for it. So it's kind of sitting here on a shelf waiting for the gods to send me a one that is not reparable so I can steal a cell out of it. But for the most part, I'm pretty well covered. And where I use, how do I say it? Where I use used parts, oh, that's a mouthful, is generally in machines that are old enough that people don't want to put big bucks into. And so it's just to get them by until they can figure out what it is they're going to do downstream, just to get them functional again. Okay, does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Very good. Very good.
Jeffrey?
Ah, Jeffrey Rainey. There's a voice from the distant past.
Well, somewhat distant.
Oh, excuse me. I'll have to raise my hand. I can't find the raise hand. So I'm just letting you know I'll go in the queue. I've tried both in more and participants and can't find the raise hand. So, yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Jeffrey, fire away.
Rick, when I sent you a Braille display, it unfortunately had to remain there because of oxidation. Was that due to lack of maintenance and cleaning, or was that just happenstance?
No, that was happenstance. I think at some point in time, it got damp. And I'm not sure what damp means. Was it left in a car overnight and then taken inside and turned on immediately? Or where are you in the country?
Ontario. Toronto, near Toronto.
Yeah, okay. So it does get relatively cold. That was the...
That says something coming from out west.
That was the kind of oxidation I was seeing. It wasn't... It hadn't turned to the rust stage. Mm-hmm. It was just fur on the connectors that there was no way to clean it sufficiently that the device was going to be stable.
Okay.
And with oxidation, it's a semiconductor, right? So some days it'll work, depending on the humidity. Some days it'll not work. So there was no way of guaranteeing that it was going to remain stable for a duration of time.
Yeah, and this point, it had just gotten to a point where that was just a full stop, not working anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, thank you so much. I know you... actually, Penny kind of alluded to this earlier, but thank you for keeping that as, I'd never forget this expression, the cobbler's daughter. I hope it's done something for you.
Cobbler's daughter, yes. Yes, yes, that's for sure.
Anyway, thanks,
Rick. That's for sure.
All right, Peg, you're up.
And I'd like to go on deck, please, Ray.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, I don't know what's with the Zoom on my phone, but I couldn't find Ray's hand in either area. Anyway, a couple of things regarding cleaning, Rick, and this has been a great presentation. Thank you. First of all, I wondered about the case. Well, I have a Brailleant 40 and it has a case that came with it. You know, the lid comes over the top. Yep. The front of it isn't covered, but I wonder, should one consider getting the case from the, what's that place called? You know, where you can buy the cases. I forget the name offhand.
Somebody executive products.
Executive products. Yeah, yeah.
I've not seen the executive products case, Peg, so I can't comment. But if, I mean, I've been to your place. I know your setup. I don't see where you're going to have any advantage doing that.
Oh, okay. Okay. I mean, I'm pretty careful with it, but I just wanted to...
Absolutely. Because... Absolutely. And yeah. And like I say, going back through my memory banks, I saw nothing that concerned me. And if I had, I would have said something then.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I think you're golden with what you've got.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
And then I'm just curious about the alcohol. We've on our Braille display group a while ago, somebody suggested you needed to get some special alcohol, something percent.
99%. You can't get 100%. There's no such thing, but 99%. No. What happens is at 70%, it leaves a little bit of residue.
Okay, so 90%.
And that's what you don't want. You want 99%.
99.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's okay. Great.
Available at London Drugs.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks so much. Thank you.
Kim?
So when Jeffrey mentioned about it, and you said something about it getting damp, I've been asked before, you know how there's the thing about if your iPhone gets wet, you can put it in the bag of rice for like a day and then you can take it. If your Braille display gets soaked, if someone spills something on it or you do, or water gets on it, it's pouring rain, is there anything?
Immediately turn it off. Okay. Find a Ziploc bag. Go down to your local computer store, don't care which one, and get one of those gel, what the hell are they called? Silica gel packs. And those are the little white packs that got those little beads in them.
Oh, that come in boxes when you get tech.
Absolutely.
Right?
And okay. if you get your hands on one in a shipment of, I don't know, licorice, save it and put it aside. They are worth their weight in gold when it comes to pulling moisture.
You can also get them from Canadian Tire in the sporting goods section to keep your kids' hockey gear from smelling.
Ooh.
And they're so bigger. Your
Braille display will smell lovely as well.
So oh, they don't air scent it or anything.
How big are these packs? Do you mean the little yeah. bit tiny?
The
little
No. The ones I'm talking about are about the size of a compact mirror.
Okay.
Oh, okay. And is that the size you're thinking, Rayanne? Like in Canadian Tire, when they have those?
Yeah, mine would be like double the size of a Braille eraser.
Yeah, okay. It's about right.
Yeah, about the same size. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you put it in the Ziploc with this thing.
Put it in the Ziploc bag with the package, and then put it up on the shelf. You're gonna need to leave it. Well, depending on how wet it is, of course, you're gonna have to leave it 3-4 days.
Do you dry it off first? I mean,
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that is obvious, right?
But get as much of the moisture off it as you can.
And do you need to use something to dry it off, like a lint-free cloth?
Just a towel, and make sure it's an absorption, a really absorbent towel, so it sucks the moisture away, and it's not just swishing it around on top. And then put it in your Ziploc bag, put it up on the shelf, and leave it alone. And then cross your fingers and your toes and your hair and your eyes and everything else when you take it out. And you might find out that you've dodged a bullet.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, good to know. Good to know, because you know, these things do happen. As careful as
absolutely.
We are.
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely. You know, I've had cups of coffee wind up in them. I've had bottles of water accidentally spilled on them. It happens. It happens. We're not going to fault anybody for it. It was an accident. Nobody's to blame.
Yeah, good. Thanks.
Okay, any more comments on Braille displays? And do you want me to do just a real brief flight over Braille printers?
Just another quick question.
Oh, fire away.
Okay. I often read with the Braille display in bed. I don't put it under the covers, but I put it on top of, you know, just on top of my stomach and on top of the covers. And, you know, I try not to get it immersed in the bedding. So I'm just wondering if there's any problem with, you know, with that, like having it near the covers.
You don't have animals, do you, Peg?
Just stuffed ones. Yeah.
Okay. Well, remind me that I'm not coming to your place.
No.
No, I don't see any issue with that. I would have to say a hard and fast no. Don't see any issue with that. And my only pause is, I'm assuming your bedclothes and stuff are not fluffy. That was my hesitancy there, was if you had animals and you had a dog that was laying on the bed at the same time.
Oh, right.
Cat curled up on your lap. And, you know, but if you don't have any animals, I don't see an issue with it. No.
Oh, no, that's fine. And I, as I say, I put it on top of the, like the bedspread, which is
covers.
on top of me. I don't put it underneath the covers because, Okay, well, that's
good. You never know. You could be looking for a set of happy pants, girl.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you.
I guess speaking of that, though, Rick, for those of us that have animals or are guide dog users, is there anything we should? I think COVID has helped me wash my hands more. So I always make sure, like, if I've been brushing the dog or patting the dog, I was, you know, wash my hands before I go at the Braille display. But is there anything else?
No, just making sure your hands are clean is the biggest one. You know, your dog has been out. They've been walking around. It's been raining. Their paws might be, or their legs might be muddy. You know, you just don't know exactly where they're walking. And then you come home and you pet them and you sit down on your Braille display. And all of a sudden, you know, you've got grit on your fingers because you've been beating on the dog. You know, it's just a matter of being thoughtful as much as careful.
All right, we have a question from Brenda and then Louise.
Hi, I was just thinking of another question, and I wonder, is there any reason why we shouldn't maybe take the shell off of the brailler by ourselves just to maybe get in there with, those brushes from sewing machines, or just to clean it out, or is that...
You know what? You could get at the majority... you're talking Perkins now, right?
Sorry, yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You could get at the majority of where you need to be by turning it bottom up,
right?
And taking out the 11 screws that are on the bottom cover.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then going at it from that perspective.
Okay. With
a small paintbrush is what I'd use.
Oh, okay. Rather than something from the sewing machine.
A small trim brush, half inch trim brush, and just get in there and, you know, beat on it as much as you want. There's nothing down there you can hurt. You've got push bars and pins and rollers and cam followers and gears. Just make sure you're not loading paper while you're using the brush. Because what'll happen is the brush bristles will get caught in the gear head and it'll pull them out.
I'm just thinking, I don't even think that would be possible, but...
you'd be surprised.
What about a silicone brush? I'm thinking like those baster brushes, you know, that you can buy at kitchen stores.
I wouldn't do that because you want something that's going to trap the dust and fur and whatever else is in there.
Okay.
Okay. Louise, you've got one.
Well, okay, going back to the dog hair, because, of course, having guide dogs, we all think, you know, the biggest thing I did when I bought my Braille display, I got the cover. And when I'm not using it, that cover's down and sealing my Braille display, you know. And because now mine's a rare one, I can't get, most likely get parts for anymore because it's technically not supported anymore, the Apex human wear. I want to keep it as long as I can because they're expensive pieces of items. I mean, and I don't want a touch screen. I want to be able to braille with a braille, you know. And the difference is I have the keyboard that is like a typing keyboard. What do you call it? That kind of accordion.
QWERTY keyboard?
Yeah. Okay. So is there anything else I could do that maybe would keep, except what I'm doing? I mean, hey, I don't want to give this one up.
You know what? With as many times as we've crossed trails, I would say you're doing pretty well everything you can, to be honest, Louise. Back to Peg, you know, if I saw something that was bothering me when I was at your place, I would have said something.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you should think about doing it this way and I didn't see that. So don't worry about, I mean, for the foreseeable future, don't worry about parts. I got two of them on the shelf here. So I would say, no, get the good out of it that you can possibly get out of it before you have to look at something else. I wouldn't jump into the deep end of the pool. You know, be looking forward for sure.
Yeah.
How old is the one that you've got now?
Oh, mine will be 10 years old in February.
Yeah. You see, that one's getting long in the tooth for sure.
But you know, one, it's a good machine. I love it. And there's not, and I mean, to repeat that, to find what I want in that kind of machine is going to be hard.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. And the only thing that I can't.
And the other thing is I never because my computer and my, that's one thing. I will not let anybody put anything on my desk. You know, there is no loud, any liquid on that desk, you know. Yeah. That's number one.
Well, you can't fault somebody for an accident, right? That's your policy, and I respect that for sure.
And now as I take it away from the desk, and I'm very careful. But I never thought that just putting your hands. Thank you for about the hair, the dandruff off the hair. I never even thought about that. That is, thank you for that one. You know, the stuff from your hair. You know, make sure you do wash your hands before you use it. Especially if you put your hands for your hair. So thank you.
It's just little things that you don't realize that you're doing. And then, you know, accumulatively it catches up.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Not a problem. All right. Any more else? Anyone? Brenda, I see you got your hand up again.
Sorry, I didn't real. I forgot to take it down.
Okay, very good. All right. So I've got not more than 5 or 6 minutes left here. So I'm going to really quickly gloss over, and I do mean gloss over, printers. I do all the printers here. I do Index. I do the Humanware printers. I do Enabling printers. I still do the legacy printers from Enabling. I also do the production brailers from Norway now. So there's precious little that I haven't seen. Parts are readily available. If you're concerned about that, don't be. Even the older ones can still be used with newer machines. The ones that don't have a USB port, you can use them using USB to parallel converters. So there's no reason to be tossing them out. Just again, get whatever you can get out of them before you have to retire them for good.
We have an old Juliet. It was the serial number
Julie. Yes.
001. And they wanted it back because it was the first one off the line. I said, no, I think I'm going to hang on to it. Yep. What we've done is we have it downstairs and we've used a print server.
Yep.
So that we could still use it. It's a bit of a pain because you don't know when the thing's done, but you can do it that way too for connectivity.
Yeah,
you can.
Yep. Yeah, that's a possibility as well. 001. Wow. I think the oldest one that I worked on was 036. So
I'll make sure you get this one.
Gee, thanks. Okay. Any other comments on that? Nope. Okay. So are we ready to wrap? Oh, sorry, CJ.
Sorry. Do you recommend using the canned air to blow some of the little particles out from the Romeos?
You hear that pregnant pause?
Yes.
I think.
Don't do it.
I think no, quite the opposite. Actually, I think you're wasting your money with something so ineffective. If you were going to do that. You know, the stainless steel covers that are on top, there's four screws in each cover. Take the two covers off, take it down to your local, tire shop and ask for a compressor with a nozzle on it and just blow the hell out of it.
Okay. Thank you.
And I do mean blow the hell out of it. You're not going to hurt it.
Okay. Yeah. Cause there's always so much from the tractor fed paper, all so much
dust and
crap in there. From
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Sorry, stuff in there from it.
Absolutely. And take it down, blow it out. I mean, if you were really, you know, desperate, you could do it at a garage that's got a hose for a car tire. If you had a valve stem, just put the valve stem in the air filler and use it that way. But the best thing to do is to take it to a tire shop that's got an air hose with a nozzle.
Excellent. Thank you.
Carla?
Hi, Rick. Just going back to the Manuel Perkins Brailler, I'm wondering what you would recommend if the paper, when you're loading it, it just keeps loading and won't stop and gets sort of jammed in the device.
Yes, yes. That is the function of the paper check on the, if you're looking from the front, on the back left-hand corner. And what you can do, and I don't recommend it to everybody for sure, but if you've got somebody who's sighted, take the, hang on, let me grab this one. Take the four screws along the back edge of the back cover and the four screws out of the cover. And then on the, if you're looking at it from the back on the right-hand side, there's a spring. Bend the spring so it provides more tension to the little gear head lock that is on that side and put it back together and check it. And what it is it's a little tooth that fits into the gears that stop it from rolling once the paper is through, is in position, is what the mechanism is. And with a little bit more tension on there, it will get down into the gear where it's supposed to.
Great. And you said that spring was on the right-hand side of the back?
If you're looking at it from the back, it's on the right-hand side. Yes. Top right-hand corner.
Great. Thank you.
Any more hands up?
I think that's all of them for now.
Okay. I just, so Rick, it would be great if you told everybody how to get hold of you, but also if people do contact you about something they want repaired, what is it you need to know? Are there certain things you really want them to make sure that they communicate with you? How does that work?
You can get hold of me through business hours on my cell phone, which is 778-847-6840. It is a cell phone. It lives on my hip, so I will answer it sometimes after hours. Sometimes you won't get me. Sometimes I'm out on the road, you won't get me. But if you don't, leave me a message and I'll get back to you. And my message goes to an email as well. So I will catch up with you eventually. I live in North Van, so if you've got stuff to send me, it's going to wind up here. Somebody will, I'm sure, put up my shipping address in the notes.
Yep.
And if you're sending me something, what I need to know is I need to know who you are, what your address is, how to get hold of you, what your device is, what your issue is, but your device issue is, the serial number.
Sorry.
And somebody caught that. I cringed when I said that. If you've got a drop dead date, if you must have it back by a certain day, I get that all the time with the kids who are doing exams. So I'm used to working around drop dead dates. I will do a work order up for you. I will email it to you. Just print it, put it in the box and send the device. It will magically wind up here, do whatever needs to be done. I will contact you before we send it back. And once we know we're all on the same page, out the door it goes.
That's awesome. And just so you know, I was looking at all of the things you fixed. So also Victor Streams, if people have those, and all kinds of other tech that we're not talking about because we're Braille literacy, but definitely I was amazed like at all of the stuff that you can
fix. Yeah, I do. I do all the book players. I do Braillers, manual electric displays. I do CCTVs. I do production Braillers. In the past, I have done augmentative communication stuff. What else? Pretty well anything in between. Proximity switches for home automation.
Dymo labelers
I don't do. No, okay. Nor talking clocks. Somebody sent me a talking clock saying it just gerbils. It's like, and what the hell do you want me to do with that? You know, it would cost more for me to fix it than it would be for you to replace it. So, you know, the knowledge is pretty vast. The depth of knowledge, you know, I might have to reach out to people in the background, but that's infinitely doable. I do a fair amount. And I usually, unless it's something really bizarre, have a pretty decent turnaround time. Usually within the week, it's on its way home after being done and tested and everything else.
That is so awesome. Anyone else have any final questions for Rick?
Rick, do you send a shipping label when you send the
No, I will send you my shipping address because I don't know how it's coming.
Right.
Okay. You can send Canada Post, you can send FedEx, Purolator, UPS. I just have no idea what your preference is, so I do not do that.
Okay.
Awesome. That is awesome. Daphne, do you want to say anything else about BLC or anything about...
Well, I'm just...
Penny's got a question.
Penny has her hand up. Good.
Can you tell us, and I hope you have a really good answer, because of your knowledge and all that you've shared, who you're training to take on, when, if and when you do ever retire?
Oh, my darling.
Rick's never leaving. You know what?
I beg to differ. However, having said that, I was grooming my youngest daughter to take over, and she divorced me about 6 weeks ago. So I'm casting about again.
Oh no!
Big shoes to fill, Rick. Big shoes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Ooh, I thought that was going to be a really nice dovetail that I would kind of slowly, you know, step back and let her slowly step up. And she came the other day and she said, Dad, this is not really what I want to do. I want to go out and do something that I want to do and not something that you want me to do. And that was a real wake up moment for me. It's kind of like, okay, I had a hard time coming to grips with it, but I understand. Yeah. She wants to be her own person.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, I'm not sure. I'm still looking.
So if anyone knows anyone who might like to jump into the hole there of because it's so amazing to have someone, Rick, that you're so honest and so supportive of this community and so great at fixing everything. I've only ever heard wonderful things about you from our community. So that is either means you're providing them good payoffs or no, I really, really have. So like everyone really appreciates that. Definitely. I know that. And it's wonderful to have you on the call and to hear, you know, all of these little tips that we might get. Anything you want to say, Daphne?
Thanks, Kim. And thank you, Rick. I see some applause coming from Debbie there for you. And I know that we all really, really appreciate the sharing of your expertise because these are practical, useful, we can all do them kind of tips. And that is so helpful. And we appreciate that. And thank you for your time.
Well, you're more than welcome. Each and every one of you, thank you for dropping in. And with that, I'm going to bail out of here because I'm supposed to be at an 11 o'clock, which I am late for. No. My wife's a politician and she perpetually runs late. So it's not an issue. I will grab her and we will go out the door. Thank you for attending and we'll cross trails when we do.
Thanks.
Thank you, Rick.
Bye-bye.
And thank you to everybody for this. And we will get the notes and the recordings out as soon as we can. So,
and there will be a transcript following that as well. So it will go to everybody who registered for the event. And keep your questions coming. Rick is a great source of information. And if you just have questions that come out of this, don't hesitate to let us know and we will